This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Difference. I'm Kristen Harper from Convergent, and today I'm joined with one of our Convergent partners, Joe April. Joe is our Community College Division Director. He served as Chief Advancement Officer at four community colleges and campaign counsel on more than 25 capital campaigns in his career. We're so glad to also welcome Dr. Anthony Wise from Pellissippi State Community College today. Dr. Wise has been with the college for 22 years and has been instrumental in some major efforts impacting the school, including the Tennessee Promise and now the largest fundraising effort in the school's history. And I'd love for maybe you guys just to take over here and tell how the two of you met and how Pellissippi decided what course to take in its fundraising initiative, Dr. Wise, if you want to.
Joe and I were trying to remember. So I think we met through a mutual colleague and friend in the fundraising world at some conferences and had some preliminary conversation. But, you know, as our foundation board began to explore this campaign for Pellissippi State and look for organizations and individuals who could help us, we actually had Joe come down to campus and present as part of a RFP process. You know, I think he hit it off with the foundation board. I think he hit it off with our executive director, and certainly think that we had a great relationship from the very beginning. And that's, I think that certainly makes the work. It's always challenging work, but I think it thinks it makes it a little easier to work with somebody that that fits in with your organization and your style and understands who you are as an institution.
Yeah, I think I had heard about Pellissippi State prior to actually meeting you, Dr. Wise. We had known a former colleague and just sort of got to know about the Tennessee Community College system, the Promise Program, and really, you know, Tennessee is one of the leaders across the country in technical and two-year college education. So I had certainly heard many great things about Pellissippi, and I do believe that we met a couple times at conferences and clearly hit it off right away as both being passionate supporters of the community college mission. And, you know, Dr. Wise struck me immediately as someone that is very student-centric and clearly somebody that understands and is passionate about the community college mission. So it's easy to get along and collaborate with people that share your vision and share your passion for particularly the community college system, which was certainly the case in our meeting.
So when you guys first met and the Inspire, Invest, Impact campaign got started for Pellissippi State, was that about 3 years ago, Dr. Wise? Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's probably when we started our initial conversations. Yeah, that sounds about right, Chris.
And take us through some of those first steps. I definitely want to focus today on the feasibility study and some of the really interesting things you guys uncovered there. But if you want to just kind of start us off, what were some of the first steps that you all took in developing the initial phases of that campaign?
You know, initially, I think we were thinking it would be principally a capital campaign. We had two projects that were working their way through the state approval system. One was a $27 million project on our Hardin Valley campus that the institution needed to raise $2.7 million for. And the other was a slightly different kind of project in that it required more partners and a different way of raising the capital to be successful. It was a workforce development center in Blount County, where we had kind of been throwing around the idea with some of our stakeholders and some state officials and some of our community partners that, you know, we really couldn't wait for the building, the traditional process we used in Tennessee to play out. We didn't have 18 years. The workforce demands were too great in the local area. So we kind of pitched this idea that our foundation would raise a third, that we would get a third from a partnership, and we did through a local technical college, and then the state provided a third. So those were kind of the two big projects that were on the horizon in terms of capital as we began. But one of the things that Joe did when he came in was kind of do a modified version of a feasibility study. And I think he learned some important things in that.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. It was clearly the capital projects were at top of mind. And, you know, as we started the engagement, it became very clear, a couple of things became very clear that were pretty unique from my perspective. One was, you know, Pellissippi State as a community college covers a pretty big geographic area and has multiple campuses. And, you know, sort of the motivation behind the interviews and the folks that we talked to were connected but different depending on where we were geographically. So in Blount County, which is where the Workforce Development Center was being proposed, you know, it was very clearly focused on workforce development. Lots of strong connections throughout with industry partners. So the consistent theme as we were beginning this process in Blount County was, it's really all about workforce. It's about Pellissippi partnering with the industries in the area to create the economics of the future. And then over in Hardin Valley, where the building project, the capital project, was a math and science center, it was much more focused on the connectivity with the University of Tennessee, the transfer programs, the wonderful baseline education that you get at Pellissippi and the transferability of that to the University of Tennessee or to other four-year schools. So it was much more academic. So it was interesting in the study that kind of came up is, although Pellissippi was well respected and loved throughout the region, there really were two, I guess I'd call them mini areas of geographic priority, within Blount County being workforce and over in Hardin Valley being the academic more transfer. But overarching throughout the catchment area of Pellissippi that was really interesting and very enlightening for me was the deep desire of everyone to really play an active role in students' lives by removing any financial barriers, but also any outside the classroom or support barriers. So as we were talking to folks in the feasibility study, and again, this was not sort of, orchestrated around geography, it was consistent throughout, that everybody wanted to support the students. They wanted to remove any financial barriers. They wanted to make sure that every student who wanted an education in the region had the opportunity to do so. And, you know, in the study, as in all studies, as the consultant, you sort of have one foot in the community and one foot in the college, and you're communicating between the two. And this was one of the times in my career that it was just so very obvious that the passion of Pellissippi's leadership, led by Dr. Wise, connected shoulder to shoulder with the passion of the community all around students. It was providing anything that's going to ensure that students are successful. So it was just an interesting feasibility study that evolved with almost every interview, in that support for capital projects, the two priority capital projects, was there. But there was also this deep passion to support students that was throughout the entire campuses and throughout the organization, both inside amongst faculty and staff and outside amongst alumni, board members, community, and even especially the business and industry. So it was a unique process that evolved.
So as Joe is bringing you back these findings from this feasibility study, Dr. Wise, what you, your board, your faculty, your staff, what are you, are you kind of evolving with him and changing your strategic plan and that kind of thing? Take us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, again, initially, as we talked about, we were thinking, well, this is a capital campaign, really. We've got these two building projects that are critical, one for workforce, one principally for transfer. Both projects absolutely needed in the large footprint of Pellissippi State. But it was also good to hear that folks in the community still wanted to support students. Pellissippi State was involved in the scholarship program that evolved into Tennessee Promise in our state, and that was a last dollar scholarship. In the early years of that, we began to hear sort of rumblings of, well, why do we need to support the foundation with scholarships? Because we've got this new statewide initiative that provides that last dollar of support. But over the course of our time with Tennessee Promise and our work with our students, we discovered there are a lot of things that are barriers to students. the cost of textbooks, the cost of transportation, the cost of childcare, those sort of unexpected costs. And so I think what Joe found was that there are still many, many people on campus in the community that wanted to have that direct connection to supporting students. And that idea became the foundation for our Student Opportunity Fund. Past chair of our foundation board and chair of the campaign, Tom and Diane Ballard made the first gift to that and established it and really sort of provided the lead gift in talking about that in the community and how critical that support was. And I think it was just representative of what we learned in the feasibility study, but also representative of what we believe at Pellissippi State, and that's in our commitment to students and trying to give them all the resources they need to be successful.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things that was really a concern from my perspective going into the study. You know, the Promise Program throughout Tennessee is well publicized, it's well known, and it actually started in Knoxville. So the genesis of that dream, that big dream that occurred, began right there in Knoxville and right in the backyard of Pellissippi. So, I was a little concerned in terms of what stakeholders may think as we're discussing ensuring the financial affordability of Pellissippi. But you're absolutely right, Dr. Wise. One of the things that came up over and over again and became a consistent theme was the interviewees, the folks we were talking to during the course of the interview, saying, well, what other barriers exist? What about books? What about childcare? What about transportation? What about those emergencies that nobody can count on? In their words, they said things like, we want to make sure that any barrier is removed so that any dream can be fulfilled and, you know, above and beyond the Promise Program. You know, students drop out because of things other than not having scholarship funds. So it was an interesting and a very grassroots sort of mini movement within the feasibility study itself. The other side of that equation, which is an important thing for the partnership between a consultant and the college, was, you know, I had to come back to the leadership of the college in the midst of the study and say, we're hearing a theme that maybe we didn't think about as we were designing this initial case for support beyond the capital campaign. We're hearing there's a desire out there for entities to support, you know, increasing the financial availability of funds. And, you know, it takes an open mind and some entrepreneurialism and really being a student-centered institution for Dr. Wise and his team to say, okay, well, we could do all of it, which is a pretty brave thing to say when you've got a couple of daunting capital projects. But, you know, I think what it told me is that everything that is being done in this study affects the ability for Pellissippi, the faculty, the staff, the leadership, the volunteers to serve students. So coming back with this tweak in the case for support through the study did not fall on deaf ears. As a matter of fact, it fell upon welcoming open arms, but we didn't reduce the needs on the capital. We just added to the project the need for student support. So it took a little bit of guts to do it, but as you can see by the results, it certainly was well worth it.
Well, that was kind of the next thing I was going to bring up, Joe. Yeah, the feasibility study and what we all uncovered was very interesting. And then it did seem like it, as a successful feasibility study should do, laid the groundwork and the foundation very well for a capital campaign that was extremely successful. So, Dr. Wise, I definitely want to talk a little bit about the public kickoff. That was a unique, the simulcast and the way you did that was really an interesting story. But how, as you went in, even just to the quiet phase of the campaign, did you find that the investors were open and the new case for support and the strategic plan was well received?
Absolutely. I think once we sort of digested what we learned in the feasibility study and used it to build our case for support, we began to talk about sort of three buckets. The bucket around the capital project for our math and science building here on the Hardin Valley campus, the bucket around our workforce development center in Bluck County, and then the bucket around support for students and support for people. And it gave us an opportunity to have a conversation about the campaign as a whole, but also target conversations to individual prospects around where their passion really was. The foundation staff and our volunteers did a great job of, you know, evaluating potential supporters of the campaign and thinking about ways that we could tap into and tell that story and how important it was for them to invest in the institution. It just really gave us a solid foundation as we went through that silent phase built up towards the start of the public campaign, which was a little over a year ago. We're approaching the celebration, public celebration this week, and really excited to update everybody on how things went.
Yeah, so that public kickoff that you held in February of last year,
yep.
You simulcast it between both buildings.
Yeah, so as Joe mentioned, now this is a unique community that when you talk to our supporters in Blount County, they were really laser focused on that workforce development center. It's something that we've seen as absolutely critical towards economic development in that part of our region. And we kind of felt like we had to recognize the fact that they were supporting that effort, and there were people here in Knox County supporting our other work. So we had a pretty unique event. We had an event that kicked off here, where I was on stage and kicked it off, and we had some conversation and thanked people and recognized those donors who were first in. We had created a video ahead of time that showed me traveling between the two campuses and some things that happened along the way. And then magically I appeared just in time in Blount County to thank the donors down there and welcome folks. We got a lot of folks are still talking about it. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to work some of that into the celebration at the end of the week. But, you know, I think one of the things that we want to convey is our work is incredibly important. We want to take the opportunity to recognize how important our partners and donors and supporters are, but also to have a little bit of fun and try and show off the personality of the institution. And our staff did a great job of doing that on that day.
Yeah, the rumor was you were going to take a helicopter between campuses, but I don't think that actually happened.
It did not. I drove myself. I will not. I may or may not have broken the speed limit a couple times between here and there. I had a very tight window. I think I had a 35-minute window.
Wow.
That's about as quick as you can make it.
All right, so tell us the big news. Where are you all at now in the campaign? What are some of the final numbers?
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's a couple different ways to look at the numbers, and some relate to kind of the organization of the campaign. One is we've got 13 new endowments that were established as part of the campaign, and certainly that's good in terms of support for students. We've done some work that came out of the feasibility study with Joe in terms of our board development that's gone really well over the course of the last couple of years that we're excited about. I think that's an important result. We've got a new way of engaging our, what we're going to call our emeritus board members, and making sure that they remain connected to the institution going forward. So we certainly learned some things there. We got some new scholarships that were established by people who had a heart for that. But when you look at the number, we, during this time period, received 45 grants for the college, and so it was a comprehensive campaign. We counted everything. We've had over 15,000 gifts that were part of the campaign for Pellissippi, which was exciting.
Wow.
That included almost 600 new donors to Pellissippi State, so stretching a bit there. And then a total number of 1,547 donors. When you looked at the buckets when we started, we had a $10 million goal. Again, the bulk of that, over $8.2 million was for capital. And then the balance was in student support and program support, a little over about $1.8 million. So our grand total for the campaign, and when Anissa Roll and our executive director showed me this the other day, I won't say my jaw dropped, but I was surprised. I knew it would be well over $10 million, but our final total is $14,155,294.
Wow.
I think is a pretty impressive result. I told Anissa it was good practice for our next campaign, which should probably be $5 million. But I think the other thing that's important is that, a lot of it lined up the way we needed it to. So towards our capital projects, we raised $8.8 million. When you look at the fund for student support, we raised $1.6 million. And then when you look at our grant support developed as part of this campaign, $3.7 million. So it's hard for me to sit here today and think back to way this the campaign started. And when Joe came in and visited with our foundation board and had a conversation about what we needed to do. And, we'd have some tough conversations over the course of the development of the campaign and, where we, thought some challenging spots would be and places that we would have to work hard. And, got very good advice on at the point where we're going to sort of approach the limit of the donors for particular projects. But to me, that's a very impressive number to come in well over $14 million with a goal of 10, and really excited to share this publicly with the college community and our supporters out in the larger community later this week.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. And a big congratulations to Pellissippi State.
Yes. Yes.
What made the difference in the feasibility study? Were there any specific things you could say working with a consultant like Joe or?
No, but I honestly think it's important because, the feasibility study led us to the things that any feasibility study would do. It's how many prospects are out there, how much water is in the pool, so to speak. But what I learned and what I think made a big difference in this campaign that I've really, was really eye-opening and inspirational for me is the relationship between the consultant and the leadership of the college during the feasibility study, to be able to have those honest and open discussions. And our job is to often say what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And, to be open and have the trust in the process and in the people that the messaging that gets brought back is then put into the plans and the goals and the visions of the school. And I think that's what, from my perspective, sitting here, a week before the announcement of the unbelievable amount of money raised, is this would not have worked if it weren't for the openness of the leadership, Dr. Wise, Anissa Rowland, and the entire team to be flexible, because this was not a cookie cutter campaign. This was not the kind of campaign you can pull a manual off the shelf and just look starting at page one. And that takes courage, it takes openness, it takes transparency, and it takes some trust between the two. So for me specifically, I think what jumped out at me that made this campaign successful and really inspiring is the openness to be flexible, test boundaries, and always, and Dr. Wise, your greatest strength, always be student-centered. What's going to help students? So that for me is what stands out and something I carry to this day.
Yeah, so when I think about it, I think, I think that went both ways. Joe had talked about some campaigns he had done with other institutions and some, initial meetings and conversation. I know the senior staff at Pellissippi felt like we had done a lot of that legwork, so we went about the start of the campaign in a slightly different fashion. While I understand that those pyramids and sort of mapping out the donors and how many $500,000 gifts you have to have ultimately to raise $10 million, that's important. I think what I appreciated about working with Joe on this is he listened to what folks who participated in the study had to say, and then he understood who we were as an institution, and that's an institution that wants to do its best to serve students. And then it made it open the possibility for us of making those adjustments. Yes, those capital projects are critical. I'm watching one go up outside my window right now, critical to the long-term well-being of the institution. But if you can't serve students as a result of those kind of initiatives and projects, then you've missed the mark. And so to have the ability to fund the capital projects that were needed for the institution, both at Hardin Valley and in Blount County, but also to develop an ongoing base of support for students, given the many, many challenges they face. Felt like the feasibility study was aligned very much with, you know, our mission as an institution and who we want to be as a college, and frankly, who our donors and supporters and community wants us to be. And that was very, very encouraging.
Thank you, Dr. Wise. That was well said, and a huge congratulations again to Pellissippi State on the fundraising effort. And thank you both for sharing the story. This is an interesting one. It's a case study on our website, and I was looking forward to sharing it on our podcast too. But thank you to my guests and our listeners for joining us. To find out more about Convergent and our services, please visit convergentnonprofit.com.